This is tape recording number 6309CO5, a lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 5th of September, 1963. Service facsimile assessment, 89 minutes long.
Thank you. Well, you're very lucky today. Very lucky today. I'm not mad at anybody. What is this date? 5 Sept AD 13. And we have a lecture here on Scientology 3, which wraps up the field of psychotherapy. I don't wish to overemphasize these banal sweeping statements, and I don't even think you heard it. In fact, I know you didn't. I'll say again. I have a lecture here which wraps up the field of psychotherapy. Thank you. All right. Now, we have been walking around the edges of the field of psychotherapy, by which we determine its relationship to the neurotic and the insane, and so on, for a very long time. We've been giving the boys who we thought were holding down this field the courtesy of more or less staying out of it, and so forth. But there's some interesting things which you should know before I go into the technical material involved here. This is sequitur to the two lectures which you have heard this week, but there's some things which you should know at this stage. The word psychiatry has no proprietorship, has no legal definition, is supposed to be the treatment of the neurotic or the insane, and isn't owned by anybody, isn't patented, means nothing in law, and so forth, but does mean something to the public. I consider that's interesting. We were having some press trouble here a few weeks ago, and I wrote at that time some articles on this particular subject, which clarified I had to study two particular spheres, that of newspaper, and had to study the field of psychotherapy to some degree. And although I was talking a great deal about psychiatry, I finally differentiated exactly what I was talking about. I was talking about the untrained mental doctor in the field of psychiatry. He has no business there. Of course, you always look for an aberrated situation. You'll find that there's a lie connected with it. Things which people can't solve have a lie connected with them, and that thing we call a service facsimile. And this happens to be the third dynamic, service facsimile. The medical doctor, who is not trained for and has no business in the field of mental healing, is attempting to take dominance over this particular field. See, he's not a trained mental practitioner. In fact, somebody just gave me a clipping, some London bigwig comments on the amount of training given the medical doctor. And I think it was 10 half-hour lectures, most of which were unattended by the students. A real roast. No, this man is not trained in the field of the mind. He's trained in brains and surgery. So therefore, he applies brain, gray matter, and surgery, and force, and electric shock, naturally applies these things because he doesn't understand the mind at all. He has no proprietorship over the mind. As a matter of fact, he's not trained in the mind at all. He's trained in the brain. He knows it occupies the skull, and that you can shove ice picks in it, and this he considers mental healing. Ah, but he has told a big lie. He's told a whopping lie. And he's put it across on legislatures and that sort of thing, that the medical doctor is qualified to operate in the field of mental healing. And, of course, he's not trained in the field of mental healing. And all you'd have to do is bring pressure to bear on legislatures that people who are not trained exclusively in the field of the mind may not practice in the field of the mind, and you've secured the entire field of the mind. I think any legislature would pass this. People who are not trained in the field of the mind must not practice in the field of the mind. Banal. It's on that stable datum that most legislatures pass laws. Misrepresentation. Got to be trained in the field of the mind, you see? That's the isness of the situation. The big lie is that people who aren't trained in the field of the mind at all are practicing in the field of the mind and calling themselves psychiatrists, which they are not. They're medical doctors. The only person you have to deny the field of the mind to is the medical doctor, and he has no business there. As far as the field of the human mind is concerned, George Hay the other day did a survey out of all existing society records and so forth and found out there were 272 mental practitioners in England outside of Scientologists. 272. And there were some 8 nurses who were also qualified to give diathermy to the disturbed. 272. Well, we outnumber them, man. Over and over and over. I mean, just active Scientologists outnumber them in England. They're nothing to outnumber. There are 70 in South Africa. In all of South Africa, there are 70. In other words, there is no field of the mind. There's apparently a great deal of advertising. There's the medical doctor, who is numerically very short in supply. And there's lots of articles in the newspaper saying the field of the mind, there's legislatures, there's appropriations. Everything is all laid out just as though there is a field of mental healing. I wish to point out to you, my fair friend, that it's a totally unoccupied field. There isn't anybody in it. They rattle around like an atom in a cubic light year of space. See, they aren't. You don't have an opponent. And one of our lies, then, is that there is some opposition. And we have done the trick of putting an item where it isn't. See? We've said there's opposition there. Therefore, we've mocked up our own opposition. And you know how serious it is with a PC when you put an extra item into a GPM. See? Well, we've done that. Now, somebody gratuitously, someplace or another, I don't know on what budget, is advertising the existence of mental healing. I don't know, but they're spending fantastic quantities of money on it. There's nobody to receive the results of it except us. This becomes a ludicrous situation. Therefore, people qualified at level 3 will very soon have available to them a certificate as a psychiatric consultant. That's perfectly all right with me if you call yourself a psychiatrist. Marvelous. People must be looking all over the society for these psychiatrists, you see. That's 272. Isn't this a fantastic situation? When you look at it right in the teeth, you see that it is a fantastic situation. Now, when you recognize that human illness will surrender to R1C, and certainly to R2C, you know, that's just what solutions have you had to your lumbosis, bud? You're going to get 60-70% return. It'd be 30%, 40%, something like that. It won't recover. That's because they require further care. But just your ordinary healing, you know what you can do with an assist, you know what you can do in this various levels. The medical doctor isn't even then safe in his own field of healing. He isn't safe there because I think that an HCA and HPA very shortly will be graduated in the field of healing. He'll know the 3 corners of the ARC triangle and the eight dynamics, and he'll know some of the basics of Scientology, and he will know how to keep in an ipsiline and keep it directed to the person's illness or something like that. And just about that level we have in HCA, HPA. And then your level three is somebody who can list and do a prep check. So we've opened the gates here by taking out and training and specializing in. Now, when you think of your level of training, well, this is something else, isn't it? So that requires a much broader recognition. And there's a lot of HCAs and HPAs right now who won't be just eligible through the training they are getting right this minute. They won't just be eligible for an HCA or an HPA. They'd be eligible for an HSS, don't you think? All they've got to do is round off their qualifications for HCA, HPA with their Ipsiline, don't you see? And that gives them that, but they've already gone on to prep checking and meters and all kinds of wild things of this particular character and so on, so they've practically completed their HSS. Now, how about you? How about you sitting here? You see, what do we do with you? Well, I don't know. We've already got you a certificate, haven't we? And we can also make this other certificate available to you, psychiatric consultant. So if you want this certificate, listen to this lecture. Because I'm not going to have it said about us that we give 10 one-half-hour lectures, which nobody attended. We're going one better. You're here. Listen. Now, you've already had two lectures on this subject. The difference is we expect now that you produce some results with this. Now, you've been getting your fingers. This is the lecture I'm giving you now. Those are mainly announcements. Giddy world we live in. The orientation of Scientology, reorientation of Scientology, looks very innocent. It looks like nothing much happened. I put out these five levels of Scientology, you know, and it brought order, 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 order. Everything has been snapping into place beautifully. Well, you're the winner, because you've gone all the way on up through the lock, don't you see? And the future face of Scientology will look a bit different. But level three is expected to be able to clear. And it also, incidentally and accidentally, takes in the whole field of neurosis and psychosis and gives you a greater purchase on this particular zone and area than any mental practitioner in existence on the face of this planet, or any other one for that matter. You'd be far more qualified to treat the insane if you can do this particular trick, because this is the only thing that makes them insane. This is the basis of insanity. The basis of neurosis and the bringing about of a state of clear are all the same breed of cat, except they're just different degrees. It's what is it wrong with the mind, but it's in different degree. The degree is whether a person can live with it or not. And if he can't really live with it, but just worries about it all the time, and really can't live it at all, and so forth, well, we say he's neurotic. And if he can't even manage himself and his environment, we say he's insane. But what's wrong with him? He's got the final solution. He's got a final solution. And that solution is not necessarily the solution of being insane. It is some solution which is all-pervading and makes it unnecessary to ipsa anything. After that, he never has to look. So, of course, what happens to him? He just disappears in a mound of un-as-is mass. He never has to look. All he needs is the solution. Now, in processing, a certain amount of introversion takes place. A certain amount of introversion takes place by reason of processing. That introversion is only undertaken to bring about extroversion. The actual progress of a case depends upon the raising of the A, R, and C of that case step by step forward. The only way that introversion does not lead, introversion and erasure of something, does not then lead to a greater ability to reach in the environment or greater ARC. The only reason that does not occur is when over-restimulation is brought about. In other words, you restimulate 20 units and pick up 10 of charge, you see. Well, now, although you have advanced the case by means of erasure, you've actually increased the introversion of the case by running at a too high a level of re-stimulation. That factor still exists in class 4. You've re-stimulated too much. But it is full track, whole track, that is most likely to get a PC into this condition. You're not likely to get this PC into this condition in the very circumscribed area of one lifetime. You have to let his attention wander all over the whole track and onto the back track and let him itza this GPM and that GPM and another GPM and this chain and that chain and not flatten these things and so forth at level 4 in order to get this individual more introverted by reason of processing than extroverted. But, of course, you're winning all the time, even though you're winning with an introverted PC. In other words, he's looking in all the time. He's looking in. He's not reaching more. He will eventually come out of the woods at the far end of this thing and have a tremendous reach. But during the period of his going, he is over-restimulated and therefore introverted. That's the ills of over-restimulation. They are not very great. You're not likely to spin anybody. That's at level 4. What about over-restimulation at level 3? Well, at level 3, you take somebody who is very, very batty. You could probably over-restimulate them in this lifetime. Let's take somebody who is in catatonic schizophrenia. Let's use a fancy term. Doesn't mean anything. Catatonia means they're lying still in apathy, unmovingly, and not reaching anything. Schizophrenia means scissors. I don't know how you can lie still in a scissors, but they managed. Just shows you what happens when strange people who don't know anything about the mind try to invade the field and advertise that they can do something in it. They get things corned up this way. Let's put it more factually. This character's in total apathy. Total unmoving apathy. Lying there in the asylum. If you put your finger on the exact button this person could talk about and would talk about, the person would communicate with you. But if you put your finger on a half a dozen other things and plunge them into even this lifetime engram or something like that, the person would spin more, don't you see? So the worse off a case is, even in one lifetime, and this is true for all cases, even on the whole track, the worse off a case is, the more careful you have to be about over-restimulation. If you re-stimulate something, pick up the charge you have re-stimulated. That is the byword on this. Now, you won't see very great upsets by this, but once in a while, somebody will who is pretty bad off, somebody who's pretty neurotic or something like that, if you're treating this person, if you're processing this person, and you all of a sudden just ask them accidentally for any pain or anything that was connected with that incident. And, of course, they've been running it on a conceptual basis and weren't close to anything like that. And they suddenly go into more pain and they practically spin in front of your eyes. You got the idea. So the worse off a case is, the less reach they have, the less ARC they have with their environment. These are the things which measures worse off, see. The less reach, the less ARC. The easier it is to over-restimulate the case. It becomes very easy to over-restimulate the case because you're using very powerful tools, actually. And they go into the mind like they're going through hot butter. And it's very easy to do this. So remember this. This data monitors all clearing efforts. And that's level 3. You see, you're not going on the whole track to clear anybody. That is the next thing you must realize, that if you're going to stay off the whole track. If you're going to clear somebody, you're going to stay in this lifetime, and that's the only place you're going to stay. If you're practicing level 3, you have not left this lifetime. If you're practicing level 2, you have not left this lifetime. Level 1, you have not left this lifetime. You got it? The only place you leave this lifetime is level 4. And the only reason you take somebody down the line on level 4 if their tone arm is sitting more or less in a very active condition. And it never goes low and it never sticks high. And then you're going to run somebody down the track because then it's very difficult to over-restimulate them. You can over-restimulate them at level 4. You can't just perforce overstimulate them in spite of good tone arm action and so forth. You can do it. But this is level four. This is level four when you take them on the whole track. So class one, class two, class three, whole track, niet, niet, niet. See, strictly Russian participation in world affairs. No. Guy says, you know, I think I've lived before. Oh, good. Thank you very much. I'm glad of that. Now, in your immediate environment here, have you noticed? You understand? Why? Because if this person is having trouble, now we get to the next factor of re-stimulation. See, this is all a piece with what you've been hearing about re-stimulation and everything else. It all integrates together very nicely. You've got another factor you're working uphill with any PC on this planet particularly. And that environmental re-stimulation. And it is environmental re-stimulation that is the straw that breaks the PC's back. If you can audit the whole track on a PC who also has environmental re-stimulation, you are doing something heroic. It can be done. It makes hard auditing, and you are doing it right this moment in Z unit. So don't think it can't be done. But you know right there that it's a source of considerable amount of upset and worry. Guy has PTPs, he has this, he has that, and so forth. What are all these things? What's all this constant level of re-stimulation in this environment? You take in an HGC where people are walking in off the street. These people have PTPs, they're just nothing but a walking PTP. Well, all right, that means their environment is keeping them tremendously re-stimulated. Day after day, night after night, their environment is re-stimulating them. That's environmental re-stimulation. That's the wife's natter and the kid's demand for another shilling. That's the income tax folder that is lying in the mailbox. That's the news that just comes out on TV that all males are now going to be conscripted below the age of and above the age of, or maybe, see. It's this, it's that, it's the other thing. Environmental re-stimulation. When this source of re-stimulation is at a high level, the PC is unauditable. And the difficulty that the auditor has in carrying forward a case to a good win is basically, when dealing with the public at large and that sort of thing, is basically auditor versus environmental re-stimulation, not auditor versus bank at all. Now, this is so great that an individual who has tremendous present time problems in his environment does not make progress on his auditing. He will not change his graph. Now, we know that. That's a stable data man that's in with spikes and rocks and welded. They know that in HGCs before they operate very long. They learn that one. PC has a continuous PTP throughout the intensity. There will be no graph change of any kind whatsoever. If he has a PTP throughout the intensive and ARC breaks during the intensive, the graph will worsen. How to make a high graph? Well, you've got to audit the PC in such a way as to get around the environmental re-stimulation. Therefore, the practice of an HGC operating mainly with raw public or partially interested Scientologists or just newcomers, something like that, or even old-timers very often, is a battle with the environmental re-stimulation, the surroundings in which this person lives. It's not a battle with the reactive mind at all. Now, when this environmental re-stimulation rises, or when the PC is more susceptible to it, he gets into states which are called neurotic and psychotic. There are no psychotics on the whole track. No whole track psychotics. Psychosis is a temporary condition which normally exists in one lifetime. Interesting look, isn't it? Very temporary condition. Because it's environmental re-stimulation, monitored by the susceptibility of the individual to that environmental restimulation, and that's all there is to it. It's his ability to withstand the restimulation of the environment versus the environmental restimulation. Now, of course, a person's ability to withstand the environmental restimulation is one erg of thrust back, you see, and the environmental restimulation is three ergs. Right away, you're going to get a condition. Of course, I'm giving you an erg or a dyne or something like that, you see, is some fantastically, I think a dyne is the amount of force exerted by one something or other, infinite, 1 gram going 1 centimeter. What is this thing? It's something on the order of a lead dropping from the end of the pencil to the table, don't you see, over a distance of about 1/2 inch. You know, just nothing. Well, this guy's a very weak little fellow. He lives on a little farm, and it's a long way from our place, and it's awful quiet. But his environmental thrust back is capable of only one erg, see? And by God, one day the pigs get loose. And by God, he spins. You see, this is proportional. It helps you understand what happens to cases. And this other guy has 3 megatrons of resistance, and he's got 40 foot pounds of thrust in his environment, see? Doesn't even dent him, see? Run the whole track like crazy, see? The environmental restimulation is fantastic. It would have killed 40 people, see? This doesn't happen to bother him. He can handle that much, don't you see? So it's the environmental restimulation on the one hand, and the ability of the individual to front up to it on the other hand, which gives you your difficulties of cases. It's those two factors in combination. See, the two factors in combination. It isn't just the environmental restimulation. Well, you see, there's 15 office workers, and all of a sudden a concrete mixer sets up across the street, and they start putting up a new building, and one of them goes batty, and the 14 do all right. What's this? It's the same stimuli. See, same amount of environmental restimulation. But one of those girls had very low resistance. That is, low thrust back. Well, therefore, if you simply studied the environmental restimulation and sought to reduce environmental restimulation by social or public measures, making it a very quiet life, you would make a lot of people go sane. This is perfectly true, but a lot more would go mad with boredom. See, so the do-gooder, with his idea of peace, 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 is trying to get himself an environment that he can live in, that he won't spin in, see, don't you see? And these characters that go out beating the drum along this line as an exclusive thing, you see, they work the hardest at it because they're the most worried about it. But they create, in the final analysis, a very dull world. And therefore, they get protested against. For instance, people have hobbies. Some people have some hobbies. Some people have other hobbies. Some people have the hobbies of knitting. Some people have hobbies of sitting still and daydreaming. Some people have the hobbies of riding motorcycles, and some people have the hobbies of shooting down airplanes. See, there are various hobbies. This is how much randomity an individual thinks is necessary to the environment. And you're coming back now to an old principle of acceptable randomity. Well, acceptable randomity is this ratio which I just talked to you about. People for a long time couldn't understand this factor. Well, here's the understanding of it. It's the amount of restimulation of the environment measured against the amount of restimulation which the individual can withstand. And these two factors together give you a constant. Now, it's very hard to work out this constant because we have no actual figures. But express it in terms of life. This individual is able to stand one dinner party. See? And he gets two funerals and a suicide. You see how you can work this out? And here's this fellow who can withstand two massacres, you see, and a wreck. And he gets, as his environmental re-stimulation, one dinner party. See, so you get these differences amongst people. And it makes them all look different, but actually it's on the same basis. And it's on this basis re-stimulation. Now, you're busy auditing. You're auditing this guy that can stand the randomity of one dinner party. And you audit him into an engram where he had a wreck. Now his environment consists of what? The ability to withstand a dinner party, but the re-stimulation of the environment is what you're running him on, which is one wreck. He's promptly swamped. He's promptly swamped. He can't run that kind of an incident. He just goes in over his head, don't you see? Well, one of the ways PCs solve this is by not going in. And it is probably the favorite method of resolution. They audit only what they consider safe. This is almost line one of book three of Dynex Modern Science Mental Health. See, the mind monitoring, you know, it won't go in over its head. We got techniques now which can push a guy in over his head. But that's beside the point. The point is that the mind tends to shut off any re-stimulation that will overwhelm it. It just tends to. It's like this guy can stand one dinner party and you say, how would you like to have two funerals and a wreck? No. Okay. Actually, this gets so bad that if two funerals and a wreck occur in his environment, he can actually just be completely, they didn't exist. They aren't real to him. He locks them up out there as not having happened. And so does he lock up his bank as not having happened. In other words, his ability to resist re-stimulation is too low for him to face up to track. And there's your problem as an auditor. How are you going to get rid of any track with this boy, huh? How are you going to get rid of any track at all? How are you going to get anything done on this case at all? Because that case is liable to sit there not even coming close to its track. Or ambitiously going in over its head all the time. So cases actually divide into three categories. Those who are audited easily. Those who won't even approach the bank. And those who are always trying to commit suicide in one. We'll call these cases 3, 2, and 1, with the one, the case who can be audited, you see, and the other two, you see, as cases that always are going it too strong, man. In eating, you'd say their eyes were bigger than their stomachs and all this kind of thing. Then the other fellow who just won't, too, you know, just a guy that just doesn't even come near the bank. It doesn't have anything to do with it. What bank? You know? What bank? Engrams all over the place, you see. Just got through, going through a windshield, see? What engram? No? He's cutting his throat with it all the time. Doesn't exist. See? You say, well, let's... Well, no accident. I just learned to take things calmly in life, you see. And he's sick and sick and sick, Matt. He just learned to take things calmly in life. He's got something going there. See? Well, how do we convert case 2 and case 3 into a case 1? How do we convert these two cases, one which audits at a suicidal level, and the one which audits on a no-approach basis at all, and you can't get anything done, and that no-approach basis is your most flagrant example of the stuck tone arm, the low tone arm, the dead thetan, misbehaviors of the tone arm. Okay? Don't come near the bank. Hadn't got anything to do with it. Now, how do you convert that case into one that is auditable with good tonar motion. I've given you a lot of technical data here. I don't really expect you to do too much with it or think about it too much. I'm sure you understand it. But I'm giving you the actual technical background to the highly elementary material which I'm now going to give you. This material is very elementary. All cases, 10 tarred, the safe solution. All cases, 10 tarred, the safe solution. You making a note on it? Write it down and underscore it. That's very, very important. That is an element of simplicity, the like of which you never saw. Some cases, also adopt a vengeful solution, getting even with them by dying. Now, when I say all cases adopt a safe solution, oddly enough, the dangerous solution comes under the heading of a safe solution. This gets wacky, but the safe thing to do is to jump off London Bridge. Because it all comes under the heading of a safe solution, don't you see? But it actually sounds highly dangerous. And they very often go in over their heads. That characterizes, then, your cases that you're having any trouble with or having any trouble in processing. One has simply adopted a good, safe solution, and the other one has adopted a dangerous solution because it is safe. I know it doesn't make sense. That's what's the trouble with it. Now, if you move these cases over into the auditable line, you will move them over on the channel of safe solution. All cases move over on the channel of safe solution. Safe solution. Very, very important. Safe solution can be stated as safe decision, safe assumption, safe treatment, safe environment, safe position. You have a world here which is security oriented. It is, for instance, trying to keep up the ideals and ideals of human rights. But we notice that human rights and human liberty are succumbing. Why? Because 20 bystanders stand around and watch the cops mess up a citizen's human rights because they're all operating on a safe solution. So all human rights disappear down the channel of the safe solution. That is the hole in the bottom of the bathtub. It's the most dangerous thing in the world to have a safe solution. Because that is the hole out of which sanity drains. A safe solution inhibits observation. And anything which inhibits observation destroys. Whether a person is merely difficult to get over toward his bank or is going in headlong or in a much worse state, these are specialized states and are not gradients of the other state, is very neurotic or is completely psychotic. They are not cousins to these other states. It's just to the degree that they have adopted a safe solution. That's all it establishes it. That's the common denominator. Now, you could make a lot of hay out of this that statement just as a philosophic truth. And it is a philosophic truth. And that is the plow that plows the furrow straight down through the middle of the problem of the human mind as it has been approached and as it has been attempted toward solution by mental healing. granting this thing called mental healing. That just plows it right up, man. That's the end of that. This datum underlies mental healing with the same sweepingness as survival's common denominator, distance, you see. There's actually another method of saying survival in aberrated form. People make survival solutions, which then become so safe that they become contra-survival. So you have entered a brand new datum here. You've got a brand new datum, which is as compelling and as sweeping and so forth in the field of mental healing as survival is in life. People solve things in the direction of survival even when it means they have to succumb. When it gets into mental healing, you are actually investigating the difficulties people are having surviving. But the basic method of survival is the safe solution. And that makes the individual right and makes others wrong, and therefore intends to enhance the person's survival by bringing about a position of dominance. Permits him to escape domination and permits him to dominate others, and then at the higher level permits him to survive and causes others to succumb, he thinks. With great amazement, you'll find committing suicide as a survival computation as it becomes more and more aberrated. How to survive, not to survive, of course. Everybody's solving that. The miser, how does he survive? How does he survive? Well, every once in a while in New York, they dig somebody out of an attic or something like that. He's been dead for 3 or 4 weeks. And the guy's got no stuffing in his mattress at all. There's nothing in there but $100 bills, you see. And his method of survival is to have lots of money. And that's a very safe solution. But he's neglected in his obsession with this safe solution to spend any of it in order to live. So as attention becomes more and more concentrated, it becomes less and less sensible. For an individual to be totally wise, it is necessary for him to be able to observe his environment. He also must be able to permeate his environment. He has to be able to have reach. It isn't good enough to have a couple of maxims tucked behind your left medulla oblongata to which you can refer in times of stress. The Arabian ruler, every now and then, would be calling up poets to help him out in his efforts to rule a flea-bitten population whose favorite pastime was executing rulers. And they would come up with such things, such gems as, "That too shall come to pass away." Very wise. Very wise. And yet if it were adapted totally, it'd kill somebody.
This lecture is continued on side 2 of this cassette.